Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Search Google straight from your iPhone or your iPad keyboard.
Wow. And there's a space for us, and I'll show you how to make one.
And I will make you fall in love with your photo roll again.
Again? Mm-hmm. On iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Veridesk. Veridesk easily converts your existing desk or cubicle into a standing desk, so you can switch between sitting and standing to stay fit and active at work. Learn more at Varidesk.com. That's Varidesk.com. And by PillPack, a full-service online pharmacy that combines modern technology, convenient packaging, and personalized service to make your life easier. Visit PillPack.com/twit to save $20 on vitamins and OTCs when you transfer your prescriptions. Yay! iOS Today time. Megan Maroney, hello. I love your stripes.
Oh, thank you.
Very summery.
You look nice, too, Leo.
Yeah,
McCord.
I actually look very wintry. I'm wearing a
you
sweater
do.
And
it's
everything.
It's hot outside.
It's like
have
80
you been
degrees
outside?
Out there.
Yeah, 75.
It's hot. Oh, I like how you look at your watch. You go 75.
My Apple Watch. We're going to talk about Apple Watches. We're going to talk about phones.
We're
going to
talk about iPads and Apple TV.
Mm-hmm. Apple TV.
Apple TV. There it is. The Apple TV.
Is.
This is the show where we talk about iOS, although now Apple's really thrown us a curve because even though it is all iOS, they call it tvOS and watchOS. Pretty soon it'll be iPhoneOS and iPadOS, but it's all iOS, and that's what we cover.
So we're going to talk about keyboards today because Google I.O., the developers conference, is coming up this week.
Wednesday.
And so this is when Google throws out all of their fancy things they've been working on in their little garage.
Yeah.
And one of them...
Larry Page has this little garage. He just does everything, and it's really cute.
They have two big things we're going to talk about. One, we're going to talk about keyboards, and then I thought this was a good opportunity to talk about all the keyboards that we love.
Yeah.
And to talk about third-party keyboards in general, because in the past they've been sort of difficult
wonky.
To use. Wonky, yeah.
Yeah. I was really excited. My actually biggest complaint about using the iPhone was the keyboard was hard for me to use. Look, I mean, I have sausage fingers. It was just hard for me to use. I never typed well. I didn't like the fact that it was always uppercase, even when you were in lowercase or uppercase. You couldn't tell easily what the state of the caps lock was. And I felt like it could be better. And lo and behold, when iOS 8 came out a couple of years, almost 2 years ago, they allowed third-party keyboards. Now, I was excited. I immediately installed Flexi and SwiftKey and all the Swipe and all the other keyboards. But it seemed like the support was kind of half-hearted.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you had to enter a password, for instance, Apple said, oh, well, this is a secure thing. We don't trust those keyboards, so we're going to move back to the Apple keyboard, which, of course, is the one place I had the most problems with, upper and lowercase numbers and typing exactly right with unable to see what I'm typing because it's dots. That's exactly where you want your favorite keyboard. Anyway... is it getting better? Because I've kind of went back to the Apple keyboard.
Well, I know. I didn't know it had been getting better. So on Friday, they announced Gboard for Google. I'm not a huge fan of the name, but I love this keyboard.
Google's made keyboards for Android for a long time.
Yes.
And what's funny is this keyboard that they just made for iOS is so much better than the Android keyboard.
It's crazy how much better it is. I mean, it's better than the iOS keyboard, and it's better than the Android keyboard. And
so help me, because I haven't used it. So help me. Let me launch an editing program and show me how to use Gboard.
Okay.
First thing we're going to do is install it.
First, you got to install it.
Well, let me walk through that process, just in case people don't know. By now, you probably figured this out. You go into Settings. And in Settings, there's an entry for... Oh, I'm in it already, but there's
first
an entry...
you have to install it before you go there, right?
You download it.
Download it.
They could figure that out. You download it. In this case, you're looking for Gboard by Google is what you're going to download. Then you go into Keyboard in the general settings of the Settings application. And the very topmost thing will show you available keyboards. Now, if you've downloaded it, it will show up in here. But it won't necessarily be enabled. You have to add new keyboards. Look for the keyboard that you added. In this case, you're also going to see a variety of other languages. Don't recommend that. I do recommend, though, one of the languages will be emoji. And if you haven't added the emoji keyboard, this comes from Apple. You should absolutely have at least English and emoji. But you'll see there are other keyboards you can add. And there is one more step you want to take. Allow full access. By default, the keyboard doesn't have full access. That means, I don't know, it means it can't see what you're doing on the screen. And that's for privacy reasons. Watch what happens, though. If you whoosh back, as soon as I say allow full access, it gives you this warning. And this is, I think, one reason a lot of people don't use third-party keyboards. Full access allows the developer of this keyboard to transmit anything you type, including things you've previously typed with this keyboard. This could include sensitive information as your credit, such as your credit card number or street address. So by allowing this, and Google does the same thing on Android, by allowing this, you just need to understand you're trusting this keyboard. I think this is a little bit over the top because you're trusting everything you use not to send that information back, right? And you have no way of verifying it. We require we expect Apple to verify it when they approve the keyboard.
Into the App Store.
Into the App Store. Mm-hmm. So this is a, one of those warnings where, what are you going to say? Oh, well, never mind then.
In the beginning, I did. You know, it's very scary. It's one of those things that if you're, you think, oh, allow full access. That sounds very frightening. But yeah, do it.
You're always going to allow it because otherwise you can't use the keyboard.
Right. And so you want to use Gboard, so allow
it. Let's see Gboard. Sure. Now, you're going to show me how to use Gboard. So I've enabled it. I've allowed full access. Let me go into my editing program, and I'll just go.
So it would work in an editing program. It works in Messages. It works in email.
Ooh, it looks very different right away. Wait a minute. This isn't it, is it?
No, that's the Jiffy keyboard.
Okay.
So
I have some other
keyboards. So if you want to switch before, switch between, you just touch those globes.
That globe will give you different keyboards. Now, the best thing to do is hold it.
To see all of them?
Can you see all of them? Oh, man. I am in a happy position here.
So you've installed it, right?
Yeah.
There it is. There it is. You know by the G, the little G icon.
Okay, so
there.
Tap the globe until you get to the G.
Yeah. So the G, this is my favorite part of the keyboard. There's a lot of great features. This is my favorite. You can search straight from that G. So you just hold it.
Tap the G?
Tap it. And then you can search.
Oh, and because it said change outdoor light bulbs, it's the first thing it says is, well, you want to search in the text that's already there.
Yes.
That's really nice. But then there's some other things I might want to search for, weather and restaurants, or... Let's search for Hamburg hats, because God knows the world doesn't have enough Hamburg hats.
And then it shows the cards. Like, if you use Android, you're very familiar with these cards,
right.
Or, you know, Google Now.
Right.
So you can search those.
Can I see images? If I tap the image button, can I get... Oh.
Yes.
I want to insert this copied. Now, what do I do? It says type, tap above to paste.
And then paste it.
And then, I can't paste
what
images.
What program is that?
This is an editorial. It's a text.
So, yeah, it works in Docs.
Let me launch, probably Notepad would be the one to launch,
yeah.
Right? Apple's Notepad.
I think the most useful search feature that I've already used several times this weekend is in Messages. When someone says, like, where are we going to dinner? And you say, we're going to
New
York or pizza.
We're going to Sardi's. Okay, and then I hit return. Now I'm in here. If I tap this search, is it going to pick that up?
No, you have to search in there. So you just would type.
Look at that. And then
Sardi's. And
the
then...
Church of the Living Dead. That's exactly where we're having dinner. And then I could just paste that
right
into the card.
If it were a location, then that would be more useful.
The Sardi's I remember.
So I've used that in Messages several times already.
Maybe here, I should have picked a restaurant from this century.
You could have, probably a good idea. So, and then you
but
just
that's
tap,
cool.
And then it gives the location so the person can click on it and it opens maps. You can also search GIFs, too, which is incredibly useful in communication.
So let's go back to cats. You know, maybe I for some reason had typed cats in my notes here. We'll tap that. It will know, of course. See, it has cats there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can search for text. I could search for images, but I can also, oh, baby.
Cat gifts,
copied, and then we'll just paste that in. And suddenly, this note is very interesting. It's not wobbling, though.
The other really useful feature is I use this when I'm tweeting. It has an emoji search. So if you've ever been tweeting and you know you're limited to 140 characters, and as you know, I like to talk a lot and write a lot more than that.
So awesome.
So I was tweeting something about fire, and it just automatically suggested the fire emoji. I saved 3 characters, which I love.
The new Geagle keyboard is amazing. And then I should search. What should
You could say, and on fire.
And on
and I'm
fire,
on.
And then I just type the search button, and it's still got Homburg hats.
Oh, it that's interesting.
It didn't
it
pick
just
up.
Suggested it for me. What? You are in there.
Well, that's not a problem to type fire, but so, and by the way, this would be great. I can now paste the location of the Petaluma Fire Department.
Right.
Right, don't do that.
Don't frighten
let's,
people.
By the way, notice that if you want to have locations that you are, so you, and it did somehow know that I was near Petaluma, but let's turn on locations, and that's another thing you have to allow. And now the local results will be better, but it did a pretty good job.
We'll
paste in a picture of Donald Trump, because there's nothing better than a picture of Donald Trump. So you can, this is awesome. And then here's some fire,
mm-hmm.
and here's some GIFs or GIFs. Look at that.
Yeah. And the news today, I don't know if you saw on Bloomberg, Twitter, now you can... The pictures don't count as your characters in Twitter anymore.
What?
I don't know if that's proven, but
how could that be the case?
Bloomberg, so you can put a picture and use 140 characters to describe your picture.
So this is really most useful when you're posting on Facebook and Twitter and other mm-hmm. places, if you want, or if you're sending a message to somebody.
Yeah.
Let me try that. I'll send an instant message saying where I am. So here I am, and I say meet me at. New Marvin's. Actually, it's not called that anymore. What's the new name of it?
It's called Sax's Joint.
S-A-X-E?
No E.
Sax's Joint. Okay. Thank God we have our executive producer, Paul Block, here today to help me.
So I think you have to search and then cut and paste.
So...
Yeah.
Yeah, see, it still thinks I'm going to Sardi's.
So then you have to... you.
Could I could do this. Copy. Sardi's.
Yeah.
I want to go to Sardi's.
So then you would search in the box for Sax's Joint.
Yeah, so this, we'll just do that. And then it should know. Now can I, there it
and
is.
And then you just tap and then.
Tap this.
And then paste.
That's, look, it did it. It actually did it before I even did anything. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's nice.
Isn't that nice?
So I could send that text message and that would immediately send you the link that you would need to get a map and.
Now,
phone number and all.
Have you ever been a fan of the Glide typing? The Glide typing. So but you can use that. You just swipe.
This keyboard gets better and better. I mean, mm-hmm. this is really the best way. And I know some people don't like this, but if you try it, you get used to it. And you'll see it is a more accurate way to type.
And it's using Google machine learning, so it's predictive text that's smart. Because Google is smart. Because Google has all of our information.
Oh, it is giving me predictions here. Okay. Boy, you know what? I'm really feeling like this is the best keyboard ever for iOS.
And I think, if you're a privacy, aficionado is the word. Maybe this isn't because maybe you don't want to be giving more information. But with Google Photos and search, and I'm all in with Google. I'm okay with it.
There's other features? So I've got emojis still. I haven't given that up, so I don't have to have a separate emoji keyboard.
You've given nothing up with this.
You've given nothing.
Except
I go
for
back
your
to the
personal
app,
information.
except for your life. If I go back to my Apple keyboard, I feel a little bit like, well, wow, this isn't enough. I need more to do this. So this is good.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. So have you ever had the problem with third-party keyboards? Like you were having a little bit like, oh, I have to cycle through
all of them. Yeah.
You can make one your primary. Yes.
Show me how to do that.
That's a really good... I was hoping you'd ask that. And I did it this
morning.
Hey,
how will I make one of these my primaries?
Okay, so you go to the settings in the keyboard settings where you were before.
Yeah.
And then you hit edit.
Edit, yeah.
And then... So I can move Gboard.
So whatever's on the top is your first choice.
To that one. And I want Bitmoji, of course, because you know how much I love the Bitmoji.
Now, I'm going to delete Apple's keyboard.
That's what I was going to say next. You can just delete it if you never want to use it.
Then I won't see it again?
You won't see the English keyboard. You'll never see it again. I don't know how you get it back is the only problem.
No, I know how you get it back. We wouldn't want to do that. Just go back to add new keyboard. And if you add English, it doesn't say Apple's keyboard, but that's what English is the Apple keyboard.
Right.
So that's how
I
you
mean,
add
unless
it back.
You speak Spanish, then it's
well, don't
it'll
add
say
English.
Spanish.
Yes, add Spanish. Catalan or Castilian or whatever language you prefer.
Right.
Hey.
Isn't that exciting?
Now, does that mean when I type passwords, it's not going to do that stupid thing where it goes to the Apple keyboard? I hope not.
No.
That'd be nice. Very good.
All right, so I feel
Gboard,
like,
that sounds
yeah,
like...
Yeah, that's our favorite.
We should just stop.
But I don't... You know how I'm a fan of the Bitmoji?
I
that's
love it.
That's another third
and that's one thing Google can't do.
Right. So the Bitmoji is an app where you create a version of yourself.
As I did, be on your behest, mm-hmm. at your behest.
Yeah, so we've... You know, if you watch us, you've probably seen it before. But so if I want to get to my Bitmoji keyboard... Here's my Bitmoji keyboard. So if I want to say anything, tweet anything, these are the ones I use the most. Apparently, I cry a lot and hate Mondays. So let's see.
It is Monday, you know. So
I know.
It is appropriate to use
and
that.
And just
now.
Paste. So I probably will tweet that because why not?
Why not? Rainy days and Mondays always.
So that's another keyboard that I really like. You make your own Bitmoji. The hair,
I feel
like you.
All the other keyboards I've been using, like Flexi and the GIF keyboard, I don't need anymore because of Gboard, the Google keyboard.
Let's see which other ones I
was going to show you all this
what
stuff.
What about the GIF? Well, yeah, I guess Giphy you don't really need either, do you?
You don't. Google has just obsoleted. Now, of course, searching by emoji is nice.
Yes.
And that's something, I think, is that Flexi?
Well, you can search emojis, too,
I don't know what
Google.
Keyboard I am in anymore.
I think that was a Giphy, or is that Flexi?
It's Giphy, it's Flexi. You don't need any of that.
Unless
this is
you
all...
hate Google and you don't want to use any Google products,
right.
In which case Microsoft has their new keyboard, WordFlow, which if you just want the swiping, that's
just
I've
swipe?
Got that here.
Let
yeah.
me see that one. Because I do like swiping.
Here.
Of course, Swipe invented this, S-W-Y-P-E.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But this is from Microsoft Garage.
Now, one thing you can't do on the Google keyboard, and I think this is probably Apple prevents this, is dictation. So the Google keyboard on Android, they have a little microphone on it. But because we always have Siri available to us using the home key, I don't think that that's a great thing that's missing at all.
So
swiping is good. That's a little prettier swiping than the Google swiping.
Right. And I showed this off because you can make it, the keyboard on the iPhone, the WordFlow keyboard, you can make it on the side of the screen. I showed you that before. So that if you wanted to type with one hand, I'll set that up so that.
Wow, there's a lot of settings in Gboard, too. We didn't really go through those, but I just opened up the settings.
Oh, you know, that's another interesting thing. That look, it blocks offensive words by default.
I always turn that off.
Because you like
every
to curse.
Time I keep saying... You know, duck off. And I don't like that. Because people are puzzled why I keep talking about mallards.
Mm-hmm. You need the block offensive words by default in your brain. Google, do that next, please.
So I turn off block offensive words because, gosh knows, I love them. I love this, that I could disable caps lock because that's kind of confusing sometimes. This allows you to look more like the Apple keyboard. If you turn off show lowercase letters, it'll always be uppercase. So if you're one of the people who likes... And some people like that.
Mm-hmm.
Marco said, I turned off that feature. If you like the all uppercase keyboard, you can do this. I'm not sure what the dot shortcut means. Double tasking the space bar will insert a period followed by a space. Oh, I do like that. So when you're at the end of a sentence, instead of hitting a period, you just double tap the space bar and you can start the new sentence and it'll automatically add the period. You
just
have your
one
own.
One space, not two. You look like an old person if you add two spaces because that's the way we used to do it with the typewriter, remember?
Yeah, but that's the point is you double tap the space bar. It replaces the first space with a period.
Mm.
So you don't look like an old person
yes.
anymore.
Don't look like an old person.
Unless you look in the mirror, then all bets are off.
Speak for yourself.
Glide typing, I like that. Emoji suggestions, I like that. Auto correction, auto capitalization. That may confuse you. That's where it automatically capitalizes at the beginning of a sentence, things like that. Sometimes I don't want it to do that. Character preview, that's nice. That's where it pops up the letter as you tap it. This is pretty sweet. This is nice that it gives you all those capabilities. It can even show you whether it will search through your contacts. Of course, it has to have access to them to do that. And if you want a little more privacy, you could turn that off. So this is nice. So yeah, you may want the Microsoft keyboard. You may want other keyboards. But, boy, Gboard seems to have really owned it. Very nice.
They owned it.
They owned it. They own it. Flexi...
Any reason to show that anymore? I don't think so.
I don't know. There's one called Clips that...
What's that?
It just lets you cut and paste things you've recently used. So it shows this Bitmoji that I have here, and I guess you can... If you use the same language over and over again, you have, like, a little clip, and then you can just paste it in there.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Yeah. I kind of like the... Google's keyboard's memory for other searches, because that may be something you want to do again.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty sweet.
If we've missed a keyboard, let us know. Email me at megan@twit.tv, yeah. And if there's one that you find indispensable.
Google kind of shut the market down, didn't they?
I guess, yeah, they did.
Wow. Got to put that
Google
on all my iOS devices
mm-hmm.
now.
And your brain.
It's really nice. Yeah, shut my brain down right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break.
Yes.
And then we got news, we got questions, and we got our app cap, which is another Google product. We'll talk a little bit about that in the news. First, though, I want to talk about our new desks. I'm so excited. So we're building a new studio. I think some of you know that. I know. And a lot of you are saying, wait a minute, didn't you just build this studio? We did. They sold the building. They're turning it into a brewery. Where I'm sitting right now, that's where the hops will be.
Mm-hmm.
So not much room for us anymore. We found a wonderful new space. We're going to have it very similar, but we decided, you know, when we put desks in for the staff, we're going to get Vera desks, because a Vera desk is wonderful. It gives you the opportunity to do a sitting or a standing. And one of the reasons I did it, did you see Silicon Valley? You know, the new Pied Piper offices on Silicon Valley? Those are Vera desks.
Mm.
I went, wait a minute, that's what our desks are going to look like. Nice. We are very excited. Veradesk, we've known them for some time. We've talked about them before. Sometimes when I see a Veradesk, it makes me feel this way.
Like dancing.
We all know that standing at a desk can really be good for a whole bunch of health problems. It reduces obesity, decreases blood pressure and high blood sugar. I try to walk and stand a lot more. And you know, it's not even just that. It's when you're sitting in a chair, you slump a little bit, you just lose energy. So what's nice, though, is not to be forced to stand, but to have the option. And that's what's so great about Veradesk. Veradesk offers a variety of height-adjustable desks, so you can switch back and forth. I love this one that we're showing in the video. This one goes on top of your existing desk, so you don't have to get the boss's approval to modify your cubicle. You just put it right there on top of your desk, and now you have the option. And by the way, these are perfectly balanced, so you can put... You know, your monitor, your computer on there, a plant, as this person's done, even hot coffee, and with just a couple of fingers, raise or lower it. You don't even have to assemble these. This is not some crazy puzzle you're going to get. They come fully assembled. You pull it out of the box, put it on your desk, put your monitors and your gear on it, and you're good to go. This is awesome. 11 different height settings, completely adjustable. Lifehacker named Veradesk is one of their top best standing desks. Product Hunt's featured at Gear Patrol. And prices start as low as $175 with free shipping in the continental United States. And, of course, a 30-day, no-risk, money-back guarantee. I love this. I'm so excited that we're going to get these throughout the studio. I think it's going to be better for our staff. They're going to love the option. You are, too. And I think it's going to look great. Even our in-studio desks, our office desk, everything. It's all going to be Veradesk. If you want to get Veradesk in your life, go to Variedesk.com. They're online. Check out all the different products they have, the full range of height-adjustable desks for office or cubicle. And make sure, though, because I want them to know that you heard about it on Twit, and thank them for helping us with our new studio. Variedesk.com. Variedesk.com. Work
like,
sitting,
yeah.
Work standing. Are you excited?
I am excited.
Your desk is going to be that way, too.
I like standing, and then sometimes you come in and say, you got
to sit
down.
You're tired,
I want to sit.
I like the option.
I like the options, too.
And these are just so simple. They just go, it's so great. All right.
So some iOS news. Apple announced Friday they're going to be providing free iPads, MacBooks, and Apple TVs to 114 U.S. schools in an experiment to bridge the tech divide between rich and poor students.
So presumably they're going to give these all to rich students.
No, they are not. So I thought this was interesting and would be a good thing for us to discuss because, you know, our school district has iPads.
Yeah.
They're not wonderful.
You're not going to like what I'm about to say.
Go.
They're not wonderful. This is clearly a response to the fact that Google Chromebooks have suddenly become dominant in schools. 21% of all purchases last year were Chromebooks, and that came at the expense not of Apple, ironically, but of Windows machines. People were buying replacement computers for their Windows laptops, and instead of buying another Windows machine, they were buying Chromebooks. But Apple, I think, is also a little bit concerned. They'd like to see more iPads in schools. I think that a Chromebook is maybe better. It's got a real keyboard. It's a real computer. It's much more limited in terms of games and distractions. iPads have to be carefully monitored and controlled. There's a massive investment that the school has to make in software to run the iPads, to maintain the iPads. And iPads themselves are very expensive and somewhat fragile. They're twice as much as a comparable Chromebook and I think considerably more fragile. So I think that a school should think long and hard before going to iPads. It's been mixed here at our schools,
yeah,
right? The
I
kids
agree.
Love them.
They do. Well, they do. I mean, my kids miss the keyboard, though. They don't. My kids actually don't love the
Interesting.
iPads. But so that's what I said when we talked about this story on Friday. And I said, and Jason and I both agreed, like, yes, I prefer Chromebooks. I got an interesting email from Keith George. He's at the Alabama State Department of Education.
All right. Well, here's
and
somebody
he
who
says,
knows.
You know, he says it's not about the device. It's really about the lesson, which I think you would agree with, too.
100%.
And so that every school district should think about the lesson first, think about what they want to teach, how they want to teach before they teach. He says, I often try to analogize this another way. Would we spend any time at all debating whether schools should accept pencils over pens? No, because they are just tools. The same should be remembered for technology. There are lessons that would be best completed using a laptop or a Chromebook. There are other lessons in which a tablet would be best. There are still ones in which a full desktop computer would be ideal. In a perfect world, our students would have access to a multitude of different devices so that they could select the most appropriate tool to complete the task at hand and be exposed to multiple systems because we cannot predict which one they will most likely use during their career.
Clearly, Keith, but as you know, I'm sure, budgets are restricted. You
exactly.
can't have something for every kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And many schools are, I'm thrilled to see, doing one-to-one programs that, like our school is, where every kid entering kindergarten, and it's K through 12 in Petaluma, will have an iPad. And I agree, that's better than nothing. And I don't hate the iPad. And you hit my hot button, which is, it's sad because what often happens, and I think this happened in Petaluma, is they get a grant for the hardware, but not for teacher training, not for curriculum, not for all the support. That's much more important and much more expensive.
And that's what Apple's doing with this program.
Good.
So this is Apple. So this, yeah, what you said, it's a grant. In the L.A. Unified School District, that was a disaster.
They're suing Apple and Pearson.
And Pearson. And that, so this
which
is,
made the curriculum for this.
So this is Apple, like, they are adopting, and an executive is adopting a certain school district. So like, Eddie Q is adopting a school district.
Yeah.
He's in charge of it. And I think he grew up with Cuban parents. So he,
right.
you know, is in a school district where most of the kids speak Spanish and feels really, it seems
right
like
on.
A great program. That an Apple employee is going to spend 114 days a year at the school
Good.
Working with them.
That's important.
It's specifically rural communities. Because the other thing I said was, you know, it's not the same as it used to be. Like, I feel like my kids' teachers really do understand this technology, and it's not like it used to be when, you know, maybe even when your kids were in school.
Well, do you remember, even on the screensavers, we did a big thing of wiring a school. I think we spent a couple of a three-day weekend wiring up a school, getting Ethernet in there, getting computers in there, and then we left. And I think that that's really what often happens.
Yeah.
Is companies come in, they give them hardware, and then they say, okay, hey, good luck, have fun with that, and they're gone.
Right.
And the teachers then have to figure out how to use it, how to incorporate it in the curriculum. And very often what ends up happening is that these new computers or tablets end up in the back of the class collecting dust. Maybe if they're lucky, there's a kid in the class who's, you know, a smart kid. I talk to a lot of kids who are the IT department for their schools because the schools don't get any support. So.
Right.
I'm thrilled to hear that Apple is doing the most important thing. It's not just providing the hardware, but the training, the support, helping schools get going with these things. Because I do think it's important for our kids to be exposed to technology. And I agree with Keith when he says we don't know what kind of technology the kids will be using in 10 years. How could you know? And certainly it won't be what we're using today.
Right.
But the most important thing is getting them comfortable with technology and understanding its both its power and its limits.
Right. And I think that's, to your point about Chromebooks being cheaper, that's another reason why they might be the better tool because, you know, you change them out, whereas an iPad is more expensive, more of an investment.
You know, it's up to each school.
Right.
And they need to know what they can do. And, you know, if they have, if you happen to have administrators who know and understand iPads and the IT requirements, and you have teachers who know and understand it, and there's curriculum, get an iPad, mm-hmm. by all means. But I feel bad because our school district, see, our school district is funny because they only had one Chromebook, I think, for every two kids or every three kids. There wasn't a one-to-one program.
That didn't work so well, right?
No. We ended up getting Michael his own Chromebook because it wasn't, you know, they're a couple hundred bucks.
Right.
I do notice that he uses the iPad a lot more than the Chromebook, so.
Well, you know, Wi-Fi is also an issue, and this program is doing some interesting things, like their park in neighborhoods that don't have good Wi-Fi. They have equipped school buses with Wi-Fi, and they're parking them in those neighborhoods.
Wow. Which, that's really interesting.
So, yeah, and but again, this is a three-year program. What happens after 3 years?
Right.
We're not sure. So,
right.
Google Spaces launched today. Do you want to wait to talk about that?
Yeah, that'll be my app cap. Okay. So we'll give you a little demo. This is very interesting. Google is doing something so strange because, of course, their big keynote is Wednesday. And you know how Apple is. They throw away the key until the day of the keynote. You know, we're going to actually announce it. In this case, Google's already released Android, the new Android. They've already released this new application. They've put a lot of stuff out already. The keyboard came out, what, a week and a half ago, something like, or maybe last week. So they haven't been holding on tight, which makes me, I don't know if they're going to have big announcements on Wednesday or they're just going to follow on what they've already talked about. But it's nice that both Microsoft and Google, which would one would think be hereditary enemies of Apple, have both made some of the best iPad software out there. Mm-hmm. If you haven't looked at the Microsoft apps, if you haven't looked at the Google apps, they're doing better stuff in both cases than they are for their own platforms, which is surprising. You know, the Microsoft Office for the iPads better than anything on Windows or Windows Phone, I should say, or Windows tablets.
Well, speaking of iOS software, time to update yours. 9.3.2 is here.
When did that happen?
That happened today.
It's interesting. Apple's really doing this more often, aren't they?
Yeah, this fixed some Bluetooth problems on the iPhone SE.
Okay.
Neither of us have that.
Okay.
But some other bugs. Improves the security of your phone or iPad. So.
Yeah, they're usually very kind of quiet about exactly what security flaws are being fixed. But you don't just have to have an iPhone for 9.3.2. This is also available for the iPad. Mm-hmm. And whenever Apple offers that kind of update, one should always take it. But I've learned my lesson. Remember that one update where it broke everything? Mm-hmm. I always wait at least an hour or two. Because if I don't hear cries of pain from the rest of the studio, then I know it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So far, no cries of pain. So dictionary definitions could fail. Addresses an issue that prevented typing email addresses. The most important one is these security issues. And they put a security bulletin out. But they're always, and I understand why, they're always a little careful about talking too much about what product, what updates they're making. So,
you know who else got an update? Instagram.
Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Have you updated your Instagram?
Okay, well, how do you feel about this? Somebody was complaining. Both Uber and Instagram seem to kind of willy-nilly change their icons. Like, where is it? Where'd it go? It used to be a Polaroid camera. Now what is it? Well, I don't have it on the iPad because there's no iPad version of this.
Well, now it is this.
It's on the iPhone. It's this colorful.
Yeah.
Abstract.
This thing right here. It's got 80s colors in it. I don't love it, I will tell you.
I don't
love it. Because it was that old-fashioned camera
that
everybody loved. And, you know, like you said, Uber changed their icon, too, and we got used to it. I think
this is interesting. But we're conditioned to find, especially on the iPhone, you're conditioned to find your app by what the icon looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that, you got to search for it all over again. I guess its position on the screen kind of gives. And there's a couple of new features. You can now message somebody from their picture, which is interesting. Facebook owns Instagram, remember? And so I think they need to be a little judicious. They've been adding capabilities. They added longer video like a month ago. I think that's so they can put more video ads in there.
But they still didn't update the the iPad app. It still's
well,
ugly.
But you can message somebody directly there.
You can.
See that?
Yeah. Here?
No, cancel. Right there next to the comment box. This. See that arrow? Now you can share this.
I could share that with you.
Somebody. Yeah. So you could say, hey, don't you love this video of somebody bicycling as fast as they can?
Mm-hmm.
And then you send it.
I don't know who you have a group called Awesome. I don't know who the other people in that group is.
Just send it. It doesn't matter. We're all friends now.
All right. Two more people. Renee Ritchie.
Oh, it's an Instagram group, so it's not going to, you know, you have to go to Instagram to see it. So,
yeah, it's Renee Ritchie and one other person.
Yeah.
So.
Poor Renee. He's going to wonder, why did. No, he's not. Because
you
know what?
It's probably not the weirdest thing
he's totally used to this.
Yeah.
We do this to him every Monday.
I think it's interesting because we're so attached to Instagram. It's so personal. And then, like, oh, God forbid they change
that. It is, because Facebook changes itself all the time, and we don't freak out. But Instagram seems somehow more mine, right? More my app. And because what you see in Instagram is exactly who you follow, and it's different from everybody else's Instagram. And I just feel like it is. It's a more personal app.
Yeah. All right, we got a question. You ready?
Yeah.
Ben from Omaha writes, I have duplicate contacts in my iPhone. How do I get rid of them?
No, you can't.
Sorry, Ben.
Yes, you can. So, a couple of things you could do. There's a merge command, and I use that mostly. So, why do you have duplicates? Well, there are lots of reasons. Sometimes it's an actual duplicate. Mm-hmm. You know, it's exactly one-for-one duplicate. And that means something went wrong with sync, or you synced with two different systems and you had the same phone numbers and they merged. More often, this happens to me. For instance, if I add Facebook contacts to my phone book, which I do because people keep their Facebook stuff up to date, so it's a good way to keep your contacts up to date, often that will be added as a second entry. So I'll have a Megan Maroney, my original entry, which was hand-entered with all your stuff, and then Megan Maroney's Facebook information. You want to merge that. So there's a merge button in the contacts in the settings. You can do it on the desktop. You can do it on the iPhone. I don't know if you can do it on an iPad. I've never tried it on the iPad. And what it tries to do is say, oh, and it'll tell you ahead of time before you do it, hey, I found 163 contacts who have the same name. Would you like to merge them? There is a risk to that. It's kind of linking them, so you can separate it. But the problem, the risk with it is that sometimes it misidentifies contacts. It's never, computers are, they're not as smart as humans. And even humans make mistakes. So that maybe, I have, for instance, found in my contacts, you know, Jim Louderback's phone number with Megan Maroney's entry. And that's confusing when I call you and I get Jim. I go, Jim, what are you doing on Megan's phone? So that's the risk. And it's always been a problem. Syncing is, on the other hand, having been through the sync wars for years, starting with the Palm Pilot, it's gotten a lot better. And at this point, you know, your best bet is to use the merge, clean up as best you can, hand clean up afterwards. And then my strong advice to you is export your contact list out. Once you've got it just right, you may have to spend a couple of hours going through it, pruning out stuff you don't want. You know, your fifth grade teacher, are you going to ever send her another Christmas card? Probably not. So prune that stuff out. Fix any errors that are obvious. And then save that contact list. That's kind of now your perfect address book. Save that out and back it up. And that way, if there are messes, which will sometimes will happen, you get a new phone and it syncs and it, everything got messed up, you at least have the one good contact list. So I'm wondering if I can do the...
Show it without showing all your friends.
Well, I'm going to show all my contacts, of course. But, you know, everybody who's in my contact list now knows that your big risk here is that you're going to get shown on TV. Let me see. I don't see that feature in the contacts. Is it in settings, maybe?
I don't know where it is either. But we've gone over this before because you don't want to show your Gmail contacts and your Facebook contacts and your phone contacts.
Yeah, your mail contacts and calendar. You know, maybe I might be wrong. I thought I could do this on the iPad. Maybe you have to do it on the desktop. Is that the only place you can do it? You could certainly do it on the desktop if you have an Apple device.
It is one of those things that seems more complicated than it should be.
Yeah. Well, it's complicated because it's complicated behind the scenes as well. You know, this kind of syncing. You understand why it's difficult, because if you change it in two different places, how does the sync know what the official information is? It can't decide. So there are a couple of ways companies, software developers handle this. One is they make two entries. That's the safest. The other is they do a merge and hope that they're not overwriting important information with non-important information. You know, you got me. I'm looking here in the contact settings, and I don't see a place to kind of clean this all up. Maybe somebody in our chat room can help us. There is a support. If you go to support.apple.com and you look at the support document, HT203565, thank you, ScooterX, they have information there to do that. And as Marie Kondo says, if your fifth grade teacher doesn't spark joy, delete her. Has anybody asked about my new thing?
What do you mean, your new thing?
You didn't notice.
Your new stand?
Yes!
It's lovely.
You didn't notice?
No.
Let me show you. This is the brand new Logitech stand. It's called the Base, B-A-S-E. And it's really interesting. So, as you know, this is only for iPad Pros, okay? As you know, the iPad Pro has this little smart connector on the bottom. And the only way we've seen this so far is for keyboards. But it isn't the only way it can be used. That smart connector has all sorts of potential. One of the things it can be used for is charging. So this Logitech stand called the Base, you put the lightning connector not into the iPad, but into the stand. And now, when I put my iPad into the stand, and by the way, it's very easy to get it right because of magnetic connectors. See how it kind of goes in there? It's now charging. So this is a very nice stand for your bedside, maybe your desk. I think it'd be great if you keep an iPad and you have it on your desk. This would be a great place to put it. You could put a clock. There's lots of nice iPad apps you could put up there. And because it's charging, it's going to stay charged. You could have a screen, you know, up there all the time, a dashboard or whatever. And it also has another feature, which is it frees up your iPad's lightning connector. So if you have a pencil, you can charge the pencil because it's always there. Or maybe that's your Ethernet connector. Or let's say you're importing pictures from your camera card. You still have this lightning slot available, and it's still charging thanks to the connector in the back. So again, it requires an iPad Pro, and that's because only the iPad Pro has these smart connectors on the bottom. But I love it.
This Could you one, use the big iPad Pro with that?
One size one? Fits all. So yeah, so it doesn't matter. The iPad Pro, big one or the little one, will fit into this. And I now there's a couple of negatives. It is expensive. It's $100. The other negative is only one angle. That's it. This is, I think that that's part of the price that you pay for this really nice design. This is kind of aluminum, molded aluminum. It really feels good. It's a nice base. This is quality. It's very solid. The bottom is kind of a sticky rubber, so it doesn't slide. You know, it's in there. I think they've done a beautiful job, but as a result, that's the angle. Now, I don't think that that's a bad angle for a bedside table or for your desk, but it's kind of a shallow angle for writing or something like that. $100. It's from Logitech. I got two. I got one for me and one for Lisa. And see how the case is? Most covers, because they have to show the smart connector, will work with this.
Oh.
So that's another nice feature. You know, sometimes with covers, they get in the way, but not in this case. I think this is as long as you get a cover for an iPad Pro, it should work
and
just fine.
I know it doesn't charge when it's in portrait mode because it wouldn't be connected, but can you set it in portrait mode?
Oh, yeah, of course. So I can have it that way because this thing has a little lip. It doesn't have the magnets aren't in the bottom, so it's not quite
off.
As stable, but it's not going to fall off. And, yes, of course, it's not charging. It has to be on the smart connector for
That's
it to
nice.
Charge. Yeah, I'm very happy, and I'll probably keep using this for our show because I can have power going to this and charge it. Steve C's asking if I can use the back lightning port for dongles. I haven't tried that. I would guess not, but I'm not so confident that I would say absolutely not. Here, let's try it. We've got some dongles. Thank you, Jason.
Oh, thank you.
That's a very good question Steve asked in the chat room. He's even provided me a dongle with some memory in it. I bet that, okay, what do you want? You're going to take odds?
I say no. Because you said no.
I'm thinking not, because that would be kind of weird. What the thing is, Apple hasn't been very clear about what this smart connector can and can't do. I do believe data can come through the smart connector, but that's the question mark.
I'm so worried about your coffee mug right there.
You know, it's been jiggling, but it hasn't fallen off.
Okay.
I'll put it over here. You're probably right. It's probably a good idea. Now, how would I even know if it's working? I don't know. It should pop up.
Wouldn't
something,
it pop
right?
up?
Yeah.
Because we've gotten that to work.
Yeah,
taking out the memory card and putting it back in.
Yeah, okay, let's try that. That's a good idea. There's something on the card, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
I don't know what. That's exciting.
Oh, that's fun. Naked pictures of your dog. No.
Is that no?
No, I think it's not going to work. So there you go. We tried it. We'll work in the side. That's the beauty of it. And that I know works because I've charged my pencil.
But if you want to charge the pencil, download your pictures
right.
at the same
and
time.
And so I can have this plugged in. See, and it did what it was supposed to do, which it launched the import. I don't know if there's what kind of images are on here. I don't know. Jason, I guess we don't trust.
I don't know what
His dogs are really cute, though. They're very sweet.
I don't know why people, we don't trust the... actually, it's all my pictures.
They do want sometimes wear
clothes.
Oh,
I am shocked. I've seen them wear little jackets. I am shocked by the pictures you have on here.
It was a naked picture.
Oh, Cupid. I took that picture at the Museum of Art, Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City.
Now, if someone's just listening, they're going to want to watch
so,
what naked picture.
So
that
this is
is
nice because, yeah, it's a statue. Okay. Because I can continue to charge it while I import photos. And I think that actually is a nice feature. Or charge my pencil or whatever. So.
All right. Well, you maybe it's time to talk about your pills.
Did I forget to take my pills again today? You know what? I never do anymore because I've got pill pack. Paul, you'd be interested in this. This is a really cool idea. It's a new kind of pharmacy. It's an online pharmacy. You can talk to a pharmacist 24/7. It's not, you know, sometimes you say online drugstore. It's not one of those. It's a real online drugstore where you could transfer your prescriptions over. They take most forms of insurance, most forms of Medicare Part D. But why you'll like this better is, A, you don't have to talk to the druggist in the drugstore at the top of his voice saying, well, you put the salve on your, the ointment there on your elbow. You don't, they do it on the phone in privacy. They're great, really great pharmacists, really nice. And the pill pack, this is why they call themselves pill pack, is so cool. So what happens, and you know, if it is a salve or a, you know, ointment or an inhaler or something, they send it in the box too. But if they're pills, they'll send them in this wonderful pill pack. And look what's on the back. Your name, the date, images of each prescription medication, exactly what it is, the dosage, the prescription and the dosing information, all on there. And then let me actually show you over here. On the pill pack itself, they've got the date, the time. So, like, this is for Sunday morning. These are what's in here. You tear this off. It's really easy. You just tear it right off. It's great for travel, too, because you just tear off the packs you need, throw it in your suitcase. You never have to say, did I take my pills this morning? Because they're gone. They're gone. You never have to say that. You know. They use image recognition to make sure there's exactly the right medication in here. That's why the back of the pill pack is clear. The cameras are taking pictures of that medication. And then the pharmacist also double checks it. So it is the most accurate form. And the best of all, none of this costs extra. This is free. The shipping is free. The pill pack is free. It's all just covered by your insurance. Whatever your copay is, that's all you'll pay. I want you to go there right now, pillpack.com/twit, and take a look. They'll tell you immediately if they support your insurance. You can transfer your prescriptions over. If you do that, by the way, we're going to give you $20 on vitamins or over-the-counter medications when you switch as a little thank you. It's such a good idea. pillpack.com/twit. This is the way all pharmacies should be. This is the way your new pharmacy is when you go to pillpack.com/twit. Save $20 on vitamins and OTCs. Isn't that great? Don't you love that, Paul?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because you never have, you know, I always wonder, oh, I can't remember. Did I take my.
And
you don't
have to.
Later. Yeah. You can have Elliot's pills. They're just vitamins. But, you pack. I used to have to pack the pill minders, and gosh, you get to the end of the weekend. Oh, I got to pack all those again. This is so much better. Pillpack.com/twit. Give it a try today. You're wearing a funny hat.
Yes.
It says, Make America Great.
it says
Super Nice Club.
Yes, wow. This is the part in the show where we wear hats and we talk about our favorite app, Cap.
You know what my hat says? Only you can prevent forest fires.
That's what yours says.
Yeah.
No, this is my hat. My friend Jeremy gave it to me.
That's
it
a great hat.
It is from the Super Nice Club. Club.com.
Is there a Super Nice Club?
There's a Super Nice Club. He gave it to me because I'm super nice. And all you need is to be in the Super Nice Club is to be super nice.
Aww. Looks like the hat that guy wears on 30 Rock, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Super Nice Stuff. Yeah.
I do think we should get those hats that have say different
things.
Yes,
every show it says something different. Yeah.
Oh, what's his name? Yeah, so Super Nice Club, Super Nice App. Ready?
Let's see it.
It's not the Super Nice App. This is called... Forever. That's
and
not what
ever.
It's called. What is
forever
this
and ever and ever.
Love it so much.
You will never, ever.
For every.
For every. For well, every. No wonder you're confused. So, what does that mean?
For every. It's for your photos. And now, it's an iPhone-only app, but I'm going to show it on the iPad. You know, it doesn't look so great. It looks much better.
Well, it's bigger on the iPad.
It is bigger. So this is what it looks like on the iPhone.
Now, why should I get this app?
Okay. So you take a ton of pictures.
I do.
And then you... You don't think about them ever again, right? We're missing the moment. We're taking a bunch of photos, and then we never look at them. This is just an app you can open up and remember the things. So here, it divides it into, it's like Google Photos, but it does a few other things. So it will divide it into places, or things, or times, or favorites. So let's tap things. So look, that's a picture of my daughter and I, and under happiness.
Aww.
These are all the pictures it thinks are happiness. Oh.
So it actually recognizes...
Yeah,
that you're happy?
When I'm happy with the people that I like to hang out with.
Well, and it's right, too.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty much.
There's no pictures of me in there.
There aren't any pictures of you in there. That's weird.
Shame.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, Becky Worley, but no, not you.
Not me.
Anthony, not you.
Anthony makes you happy.
I guess so. Togetherness, downtown, child, crowd, landscape, performance. So it's the pictures that we took at NAB. It knows we were performing.
Wow.
Or Milo's trumpet. Concert.
Wow.
It knows performance.
So this, I mean, Google does this. It's a little bit like the Google
thing,
right?
Google doesn't do it this specifically for, like, emotions.
It doesn't do emotions.
No.
Or that's
times
really
or favorites.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it'll do people, too. So spending time together. Like, it just made a little movie, A Sunset in San Francisco.
Wait a minute, it makes movies, too?
Well, no, I'm not a movie. I said movie, but I didn't mean movie. What I meant was just a little...
Collage,
yeah, a
montage.
Collage of all these pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
So... For every, you can also tag people in it.
It does remind me a little bit of the Google stuff.
Right. So, like, here's Padre, and I can tap that. I have 12 pictures of Padre. Well, that's interesting because those are not pictures of Padre, but this one is. And then I could.
Are they pictures of your father?
No, those are all the pictures I have of Padre. And I can, you know, like you do with Google Photos, I can put his name in there so I can just search for him.
From now on.
Yes. Or, like, here's Jason Howell. And I can put in Jason. Ooh, I could do my contact. Well, yeah, that probably looks better on the iPhone. But, yeah, I would search for my contacts, and I would put that
neato
in there. For every.
For every.
And I can take pictures with it, too.
Very.
And I could I'll take a picture of you and say happy next to it. So then, and
would
you
and please?
Paul.
Oh, so it doesn't know happy until you say happy.
No, like- no, it just recognized...
So,
but I could tag it here.
So the question is, does it do sentiment recognition? It does.
It does,
you don't have to tell it ahead of time.
No, but apparently...
That's pretty cool.
So I could tag you as people, adults, man, portrait. You know, it's asking me music, but there's no music there. So, yeah.
For every and every.
So, what's your app cap, Leo?
Well, I'd like to show you. We talked about it. I'm going to invite you to it. Okay,
invite me.
This came out today... So I immediately scrapped my fabulous app cap, we'll use it next week, and replaced it with Google's Spaces app. Now, the problem is getting it, you know, as always, when a new app comes out for iOS, it sometimes doesn't show up right away in the iOS search. This is an iPhone-only app, and the easiest way probably would be to go to spaces.google.com in Safari on your iPad or iPhone, because at the very top, they will then offer the chance to get this app. Now, even though it is an iPhone app, thank goodness, at least allows me to do landscape mode, so I don't have to flip this around. And here's a chance to create a space. The idea is this is kind of a social network, but it's private and personal to you and your friends. So, you know, let's say we want to make a space about iOS today, right? Wow. That's not what I expected. Holy cow. Maybe I'll
go
back.
So it's an iPhone app.
Wow. Apple doesn't really support the third-party keyboards always perfectly. Let's call this iOS. I'm going right back to the Apple keyboard. Let's call it iOS apps, okay?
It's weird that the Spaces app wouldn't support the Google
It's
keyboard.
Not. It's just. It's just
it's
life.
Apple.
It's probably Apple.
It's life.
I still think they have misgivings about the whole thing. Now I can invite you to my app. I can use messages, mail. This is just. You don't have to hide it. It's a standard share dialogue. I can even do it via Twitter or AirDrop.
Even AirDrop.
Yeah. In fact, there you are, Megan Maroney's. And so I'm going to AirDrop the spaces to you. But you see, you have all the standard share capabilities available. There, I sent it to you via AirDrop. So now let's fancy this up though a little bit. I mean, that's kind of boring. I've already added the space name, but let's customize this space a little bit. Let's add a great picture to the space. That's the background. You see, it's kind of just kind of, you know, it's not real foreground. I can make a post. And by the way, I love this with help from Google. So let's click that. And what you can do right now is search. So let's search for, let's see, Google Spaces. Wait a minute. I got to change this keyboard. That's horrible. I can't bear it.
By the way, don't AirDrop it because it asked me which app I wanted to open.
You can't open it.
No.
Okay, there we go. And I'm going to do this right there. Now paste the GIF in a message. Man, yeah, okay, got it. Now, but get out of my way. Dang, nabbit. Remember, I deleted Apple's keyboard.
Yep, and now you can't ever get it back.
Big mistake. All right.
This is the best show ever.
This is the best show. Okay, excuse me for a moment while I go replace my keyboard. Holy cow, that was a bad experience. That doesn't always happen when you use an iPhone app, does it?
No, it hasn't.
That would be a reason not to use Gboard. All right, let's go back and add a new keyboard. Please, I want to speak English. And let's maybe move that one up to the top, shall we? There you go. Thank you very much. I don't have to. Do I have to enable that? No.
Maybe we should say what Spaces is. I don't know if we really said
it's a shared space for you and me to share in the world. So
it's kind of a replacement for Google Groups and Google Messenger.
Yeah, but unlike Groups, well, I guess this could be public because you can get a URL that you could share. So you could tweet the URL, and then it would be a public space. So, yeah, I guess it could be.
Or Facebook groups, like a Facebook group, a private Facebook group. Like I ran the Beta Breakers over the weekend, and we had 13 Mother Cluckers. That was our name, the Mother Cluckers. We dressed like chickens, and we had a big Facebook group. But we also used Facebook Messenger to communicate with each other, and they were two separate things. So I think what this is trying to do is have it be one thing.
Yeah, or, for instance, I could now make this be pictures of the race. You know, we've seen people like Facebook Moments and others. And even Google allows you to do that with shared libraries on Google Photos. But it feels more personal, more private, right? Because now I could just have it be you and me, and we could just be pictures for you and me, and no one else would be able to see it. I've just shared, for instance, this app into iOS apps, so I've posted it into iOS apps. I could also put a YouTube video. I could put images. I could put text in there, and it would now be part of our iOS apps group. You could see other spaces you have going. You could see when Megan has viewed that or done something with that. You know, this is going to be very interesting. One of the reasons Google released it today is they want people to use it at their conference, their developers conference, later this week. And in fact, they're going to have, if you go to the developers conference, every session is going to have its own space that you can join. So you can go, and I think that's an interesting application, isn't it? Let's say you have an event going on and you want to have notes after the event, not just pictures, but maybe you know want to keep in touch. I could see classes in school using this. This is so new. I'm not sure we know exactly how it will be used. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, the best software is software that doesn't tell you, that lets you develop your own method of using it. So it's called Spaces. It's free. It is available on Android and iOS. It's an iPhone app, though, not an iPad app. Mm-hmm. Although, as you can see, you can totally use it on iPad. They call it small group sharing. Yeah, and it isn't. I mean, that's one thing, of course, if you post it on Google Plus or Twitter or Facebook, you're sharing it with lots of people. I think I'm gonna play with this.
I like this because we have one of our group, one of our mother cluckers, who refuses to go on Facebook. So she couldn't participate in our group.
Right. So you could share this with her.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, this you know what the Apple key? Oh, that's still the Google keyboard.
Just write in flags from now on. Wow. That's what you're gonna have to do.
Yeah, yeah. This is why you really don't want to use iPhone apps.
I've been using the Google keyboard all weekend, and I haven't had problems, but I haven't been doing things inside of apps like this either.
This is an iPhone app. Use it on the iPhone.
Right.
Right. Small group sharing.
You mean the Spaces, not the Google keyboard.
No, the Google
I think that's a sign that we're done.
I've lost the ability to speak English. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
There you go.
That was another good hour spent learning.
You're never going to get back.
You're not going to get it back.
Too late now.
But I hope you enjoyed it. I did.
I certainly did. Why wouldn't you, right?
Yes.
And we hope you'll come back. We do this show every Monday.
Mm-hmm.
We have a difference of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Megan thinks it starts at 12:30 Pacific, 3:30 Eastern. I think it starts at 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern. So it'll be somewhere in the area there.
Yes. And you can download it. You can subscribe to the show. That's the best way to get it.
Don't even worry about when it starts.
Twit.tv/iOS.
Get it at
all
your
the
leisure.
Ways to subscribe.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you want to probably subscribe to the video so you can see our awesome hats.
A lot of people listen only, but I think that video is useful. You know what I would do, and it's up to you, but if your bandwidth is not a concern, download the video. You can always listen.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but if you wanted to see something like the naked picture we showed earlier,
mm-hmm.
you could get to it.
You could. So, yeah, you could listen while you're driving and then go
and
back
then later
and fast forward.
Rewind.
It's a statue.
What happened?
It's art.
It's art. And so is the show. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on iOS Today. Bye-bye.